Well, grace and peace to each of you as we gather today in the name of Christ. Take a deep breath. As the day ends, you're on break, right? Except for those of you who have things to care for, which we all have things to care for. It's a privilege and an honor to have Candy Thorpe share with us this morning in this way. Candy has a bachelor's degree in psychology, and she's presently working for Valley Associate for Associates for Independent Living. Thank you very much. As more of a caseworker, but she worked for many years for Pleasant View Homes with persons with disability. And it'll be very important for us to pay attention to what Candy brings to us today. It's been a joy to work with her through the years and to get to know her and for her to share in the gifts that she brings and the awareness that she brings to persons with disability. So I open our hearts and our minds, and we want to welcome her mother, Bonnie, and Kenny, sitting back there beside her, among us. So let us begin.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Almighty God, we come before you formed by you, formed intricately by your hands. Lord, we seek you today. Open our eyes, our minds, and our ears to hear our sister share her story today. May we surround her with comfort, love, and community. Amen.
Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
I'm From John 9, verses 1 through 7. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light." He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, "Go, wash at the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw.
Thanks for coming. I think I know everyone here, but my name is Candy, in case there is someone I'm not seeing. I am a caseworker for people with disabilities. I'm a seminary student here, and I too have a disability. My main disability is a significant hearing loss, and I'm going to give you a little glimpse into my world of what I hear, particularly when I have ear infections. To give you a little more glimpse into my world, I will show you the next slide, which is all of my diagnosable things, plus one I have not, but quite possibly when I actually talk to my doctor with, I believe I will be. Ear infections. I've had hearing aids. I now have a hearing implant. I have chronic sinusitis, which means I get sinus infections chronically. Diagnosably weak immune system. An autoimmune issue with psoriasis and alopecia. Insomnia, inflammation of the joints, particularly my knees. If you see me go up the steps, sometimes you can see that. And possible fibromyalgia. I do have some symptoms, but I'm not diagnosed. So that's a glimpse into my world. The reason I share that is that's just one thing. There are plenty of other disabilities. The classifiable book is called the DSM that psychologists use. That has 16 groups of disabilities, plus numerous subgroups in each of those groups. That's not counting disabilities that are physical. That's not counting the disabilities that are more or less prevalent that wouldn't qualify. My point is that everyone struggles with something. So the importance of this is to know that everyone really does struggle. As with my chronic sinusitis, here is my demonstration because I am sick now. It happens. I want to read to you Isaiah 56:3 from the Message paraphrase. Make sure no outsider who now follows God ever has any occasion to say, God put me in second class. I don't really belong. And make sure no physically mutated person is ever made to think, I am damaged goods. I don't really belong. I will start my story at about 6 years old, being on the playground. Up until this point, I never really figured out I had any kind of problems. I knew I got sick, but as far as I knew, in my six-year-old mind, that was normal. On the playground, a little boy came up to me and said, you're handicapped. I'm like, a six-year-old, new word. Really? So I went to my teacher and said, I'm handicapped. And she said, I know. Now, I still did not know what was going on, and I now looking back, I can realize he must have heard her say that, because what six-year-old just goes up to a kid and says, you're handicapped. Another interesting fact about that day is my disability wasn't really that prevalent at that time, so it showed me, one, how I was being projected to others, and at least the school environment. And then it showed me after I talked to my mom, and she got angry about the situation, that I realized that maybe this isn't normal. Eventually, I can see that my friends didn't get sick as much as me. Going for testing was not normal. Having operations frequently was not normal. And I'm like, I started to realize, but still most of the time denied, that I was not like everyone else, and that I could not do what everyone else could do. Now, before I go into my adult years and tell you how I came to terms with that, I will start with my love with the intellectual disabilities population. I was a junior in high school, and I took a study hall to help my school load, and I was told I could volunteer once a week or once a month in the special ed classroom, and that was something they asked the study hall kids to do. And I'm like, well, sure, I'll do that. After about the first week, I never went back to study hall. Then my senior year, signed up for a class in which I could get credit for going into there. Sort of like a pre-special ed teacher class, if you will. I helped with lesson plans, logged my time, etc. I fell in love mainly with a boy named Mitchell. To this day, I do not know his disability. But he was in a wheelchair, sweetheart of a boy, and a firecracker. He got in trouble all the time for racing kids down the hall. The day I really fell in love with him was we were coming back from the art room, and I carried around a water bottle. He said, "Candy, I have your water bottle." I had forgotten it. And he said, and I said, "Can I give you a hug, Mitchell?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "I take care of my candy." Though Mitchell only lived to be somewhere in his mid to late 20s, when I went to his funeral, I saw all the people he had touched. And I knew his life was not in vain. Just because he wasn't capable of doing many things does not mean he didn't reach. Though I would not pinpoint it to my adulthood, I did struggle with my disability. I tried to act like everyone else. My hearing got worse as I got older, but I learned to compensate by pretending I heard. You'd be amazed how many clues you can get by body language. Laugh when someone laughs, look intently when they're looking intently and talking. For a long time, I engaged in this behavior until I finally was woken up in my counseling internship when I was 23 or 24. I was showing a video to my supervisor, Randy, of this boy who had a disability, but other things were being talked about too. He stopped the video and said, "Okay, five things are going on. Tell me what they are." And I said, "Four." I said, "I can't think of a fifth." He said, "His disability. You haven't dealt with yours, so you're not helping him deal with his." And that was a wake-up call. People with disabilities in general have a feeling of being second class, invisible, worthless, and being unwanted. Our culture lends to not wanting to assist people with disabilities. It's inconvenient, it's uncomfortable. For my disability with hearing, I have been snapped at work for not hearing. And that's just a small thing. People have been denied jobs. Statistics show someone with a disability, the more prevalent, the more likely it will happen that they'll be sexually, physically, emotionally abused. They are forced to pretty much live in poverty if they need assistance beyond what their family can give. And their voice is normally overrided by their caregivers, if they even have a caregiver. So they don't live a life of their own. Now, granted, I am talking more of the extreme, but in many ways, this can also be for others. I would say the moment I realized that culture worked against people with disabilities was when I was with my friend Faith. My best friend is in a wheelchair. She has cerebral palsy. She was engaged when we were in our mid-20s. We went to a bridal show, as two young girls in their mid-20s do. To us, this was one of the most natural things you could possibly do. Except it became awkward when no one at the venues wanted to talk to her, even though she had this huge bridal sticker on. They wanted to talk to me. I just showed you my list. Not being able to move your hands well. This, who technically has more of a disability? On paper, me, but hers was visible. To help her, I stopped looking at the people at the venue, and whenever we went up to a place, I just did this to make sure they would not talk to me. We talked about this afterwards, and she said this is common. She has been denied jobs. She has been denied friendships and many other things in her life due to her disability. And this kind of behavior is pretty common. She was not surprised. Eventually, I did get my job at Pleasant View, and I re-fell in love with the population of intellectual disabilities because they showed me they care about the good things in life, relationship, peace, happiness. They're not overwhelmed with things of money, fame, status that we seem to sometimes go for. For the mere reason it's never partly offered to them, but partly it's not on their mind. I was with this one gentleman. He had Down syndrome, pretty prevalent. We went to this local joint that we always went to, and I saw the woman behind the counter. He was one of her favorites. But I could tell she wasn't having the best of days, but I thought she was just busy. But he would not leave her alone. He went up and gave her a big old bear hug. And all of a sudden, she started crying. And she would not let go of him for what felt like 5 minutes, and it could have been. It showed me how they who have a disability look beyond things. They actually see the pain. And that's one of the reasons I come to terms with my own disability. I have struggled. I don't naturally feel comfortable in my body. Granted, there's many reasons, different why. But because of that, I can't be superficial. I can't see the surface. I can't look at someone and not see the pain. And in the end, that's more important than not having a hearing loss or sinus infections or autoimmune disease. If that helped me see someone's pain and to make the world a little brighter, I am willing. To me, that's a blessing. Because in the end, it makes me go deeper. It makes me someone I want to be. 1 Corinthians 12:15 through 16 said, "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body." This is a whole population, not all of the church, but the church in general has not seen, not reached out to. And that is my quest to try to help. Luckily, we're in a day and age where that is now more prevalent, that we see the pain. We see that we need to reach out. And that is a good thing. Being vulnerable is something we all have. And one thing that in my research has shown is maybe we can learn one thing from people who have more prevalent disabilities. The struggle that they have, the vulnerability that they live in. Didn't Jesus have the same thing? Wasn't he born in a stable? Didn't he live a life called the son of Mary, which was a derogatory term at the time? Didn't he die on the cross for us? Maybe having a disability can let us get a glimpse into the true heart of God, or at least watching them. Now, I'm not going to say the question why is invalid, but I will say, as a lot of people have said in their writings, why is not a good question. We can never have a satisfactory answer. But as Max Lucado says, no matter what you're given, God can always use it for good. He uses the story of Joseph. After being betrayed by his brothers and put in jail, or sold into slavery, then put into jail, he then becomes the leader. When his brothers asked him, please, you know, don't have any hard feelings to us for our father's sake, he says, what you meant for evil, God used for good. Whatever the evil is in this world, whatever we face in this life, may we trust that God can take that and use whatever it is for good, even if it's not his general purpose. In Leviticus 19:14, you shall not stop the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. And in Genesis 50:20, as I said with Joseph, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for the good to accomplish what is now being done to save many lives. I do not feel that God gives struggles, but I feel sometimes he can use them for our own blessing and for everyone else's. So that is my story, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Candy. Bless you. For the courage and the vulnerability to share a piece of your narrative that's with you all the time. Deeply appreciate that as you have led us into the awareness of what it means to be blessing in disguise, living with a disability, and you are a blessing. And Candy, you have been a good teacher to all of us. A snippet from a class in the past summer where we were doing issues in contemporary church. You became the issue in the contemporary church, and you brought in a device for all of us in the class to be able to hear the way you hear. And it really kind of deepened our awareness of your disability in particular, but disabilities in general, in terms of how the church responds. And you touched into that for us again today. So may that awareness continue to deepen as we look at each other through the gift and love of Christ. So thank you very much. Well, if there is ongoing reflections, please have conversation with Candy and each other. And let us move now to some worship and a prayer.
Will you join me in prayer as we close this time of worship together? Oh God, I thank you for Candy, for her sharing her story and her courage to do that. God, may you give us the courage to answer her call and your call to love and honor all your children. God, may you give us the awareness, the eyes to see the unique gifts that you have given each and every one of us, so that we will not disvalue or discount any one of your children. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.